Welcome to Audio Articles. My name is Chris, and I am the editor of articles at Crossroads Church. I get to lead a team of writers who create original articles designed to help, encourage, and push our readers' lives forward. We take our favorite ones and we turn them into audio versions, you know, for the people who hate to read. I get it. Me too sometimes. Hey guys, this is Chris, and today I'm going to be reading my original article titled Surviving Chaos: Three Strategies for Holiday Table Talk. Is it really a holiday dinner with your family without a table being flipped, someone breaking down in tears, or a cousin swearing they'll never come back to your home again? Yeah, some of us might have been there. The holiday table can be a contentious spot every year, but I believe through the practices of Jesus and how he loved people, we can actually thrive at our dinner table this year and not just survive. Let's go. Surviving Chaos: Three Strategies for Holiday Table Talk by Chris Pennington. Who doesn't love a nice religious or political discussion mixed in with their green bean casserole? If Christmas Vacation or The Bear, Season 2, Episode 6, have taught us anything, it's that the holiday dinner table can be a gateway for extreme division and ugly crying. Take all that and add in a splash of open-ended conversations on polarizing existential topics, and you're looking at the breeding ground for nuclear war in your dimly lit dining room, and some trauma to be later worked out in counseling. As a culture, we have learned to stay clear of red flag holiday dinner table topics and vowed to keep the discussion centered around school, movies, and work. But all it takes is that one niece to bring up their new spiritual cosmology or that one uncle to start talking about the election to unravel all that was being kept under a lid. Suddenly, forks are thrown, names are called, and feelings are hurt. Someone is filing for disownment, another is storming out the door, and the cherry pie or evening NFL game can't come soon enough. So much for those joyous dinner table vibes that Walmart commercials make look so easy. What are we to do? Are we doomed for every November and December to be laced with eye rolls, personal jabs, or tables being flipped? Should we put our heads down and limit the conversation to just complimenting the food? Or just skip out on dinner altogether? If you too are tired of your dining room aura, settling for either total awkward silence or the spewing of opinions through a fountain of tears and mouth foam, then we are one step closer to a better way. One that I believe includes meaningful discussion, egos being laid aside, and bonding like you haven't seen before with your family. This year is our chance to turn the tide. And before you call me a blind optimist, my Enneagram 4 personality type and generalized anxiety disorder would say otherwise. Plus, I've been at the tables described above, where you're lucky to walk away without a verbal laceration. If anyone knows this is a tall hill or mountain to climb, I'd say I'm in the running. That being said, who wouldn't want healthy, lively, and full of laughter table talk these holidays? I mean, of course we want to be able to talk about real things with the people we care most about. We just may not know how it's possible and think it will inevitably end with someone standing on a chair and frothing at the mouth about the political climate. But this year, we have a new plan. We don't just have to survive holiday dinner tables. If you're willing to take a risk with me, what do you got to lose at this point? Let's try out a new strategy based on the habits of Jesus that could bring joy and laughter to your holiday dinners, where you don't have to choose between silence and screaming, and instead can set the table for healthy, in-depth conversations to take place. Number one, listen, listen, listen. As Padme Amidala said, this war represents a failure to listen. Could the late spouse of Anakin Skywalker have some wisdom for our holiday table talk? For most of the year, we can take to social media to air our grievances, ideas, and opinions regarding a loud world. Here, we can yell to an empty void and block, mute, or click away from any response. But for a few days annually, we get free rein to take those dark web thoughts to real people and forget that a dialogue takes two to tango. It's a mind-blowingly under-the-radar trait to be a listener in today's culture. To listen, and dare I say, ask curious questions, is a relic of a time that, well, I don't know if we've ever had a time like that. Listening is a powerful tool to disarm agitated opinion spewers, slow down a conversation, and let healthy discourse healthily breathe. Jesus often listened, and not just with the goal to respond. He let people go on tangents without interruption, only to look at them and love them, as scripture says. For the most wise and all-knowing person who ever lived, Jesus sure was okay with someone else grabbing the mic at times, even if he knew exactly what they would say. When you're shoving your face with rolls and starting to get an earful of why some new governing policy is an abomination, or how that one verse in the Bible actually means something else, practice nodding and turning your other ear to listen more. Not only will it teach you to empathize, but you may learn something from what you hear, even if it's 1 out of 100 times. James 1:19 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Number 2, lead where a void exists. Julius Campbell in Remember the Titans said, "Attitude reflects leadership, Captain." Jesus was fairly young, hated by many, not that good looking, not a yeller, and had his fair share of public cry sessions. By our world standards, not a first round draft pick to be the head of a table. But through the way he lived, with humility and curiosity, he became the greatest leader known to humanity. At your table this year, you can also be a great one. How did Jesus do some of his best leading? Through asking lots of questions. We can set the pace of the room to one where asking questions is common, and people have the floor to be candid without being interrupted or have someone roll their eyes. Jesus also practiced consistent humility to those around him. Lead the way by sharing your shortcomings from the past year and what you learned. Be okay with being wrong if a discussion arises. Normalize saying, "I don't know enough about that to have an opinion," if someone asks for your view on a subject. Being secure in our imperfections, lack of knowledge, or failures is an absent trait in our society. Give others the freedom not to have it all together and watch as they start to recline in their chairs. At our dinner tables this year, there may be a preconceived notion of who runs the show. The same parent, brother, cousin, or grandparent, you get it, may dominate conversation from the get-go, making it hard to even squeak out, "Can I go for seconds?" But Jesus shows us that someone who commits to setting the stage for others can possess influence never thought possible. Make a point to build up others through encouragement. Ask questions and watch how the temperature of the room changes. People just may be excited to talk with each other about life beyond the best show that's streaming or the likely Super Bowl contenders. Try out these starter questions, aimed at everyone or one person, to get the conversation flowing. Feel free to start light and go more in depth as you see possible. What was good or hard about this year? Where did you see God show up in your life this year? What is something new you learned this year? What is a viewpoint that challenged your thinking this year? What is something you were hopeful for next year? As Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves." Number 3, look up and around. Sir, this is a Wendy's. It's as George's father in Seinfeld said, "I got a lot of problems with you people, and now you're going to hear about it." Some folks, okay, me at times, walk into the holiday feasting area with one mission, to tell, insert person's name here, how wrong they are about, insert topic here. That will allow me to finally shut that one person up, show everyone how informed and passionate I am, and have one less evil-thinking person roaming the streets. Of course, if I hold a particular worldview, it's probably because I think it's right and good and helpful for most people. But if I'm being honest, I've seen how often I will pursue debates, not for the good of discussion or to be helpful, but to feel right and affirmed in my stance. Could that be why I get so heated around talks on major worldviews? Because I feel threatened not only in the subject matter, but also to my core and values as a human? Do we all do that? If we felt confident in our view and who we are in the family of God, would we be a bit more okay with our aunt saying who she voted for, or our brother talking about his astrology viewpoints? Would we be able to hear them out, gently ask questions, and move on, knowing the world is still spinning and God is still real? Would we see that the holiday dinner table is a great opportunity to love and care for our family, not make enemies, or get kicked out of Grandpa's will? Not every opinion needs to be counteracted. Not every perspective needs to be argued. Not every thought needs to be interrogated. Sir, this is a Wendy's, your dining room. If we ever get riled up, let's remind ourselves who we sit around and how much we love them. Then, smile, sip some iced tea, and think about how awful it would feel to be personally attacked for every viewpoint we ever share. If we're really just in the business of challenging viewpoints for the greater good of man, however, let's be willing to take a tiny step back and realize that our dining room conversation likely won't lead to world peace, save the economy, or make every knee bow in Jesus' name. Creating a loving environment where people are free to share thoughts and admit they are wrong, and not have to worry about a bread roll being beamed at them, is what I believe ultimately changes people's hearts through God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." We all want the Hallmark-looking feast and festivities, but whether it's something about the confined space, overcooked turkey, or exhaustion from a long year, we can sometimes be a bit on edge when taking our seats at the adult table. So even if we follow these three instructions to a T, it doesn't mean everyone will follow our rules. And that is okay. We can only control our seat at the table and do so much in our pursuit of loving others and creating healthy environments. We also will undoubtedly fall short sometimes and take the bait for a duel of words. When that happens, be kind to yourself. This may be a long game. This may be a rigged game from the start, knowing who sits at your table every year. So at the very least, we can enjoy the meal more than usual and feel at peace with God that seemed impossible in years past. But let's dream big and pray big this time around. No more strapping on our armor to prepare for a 90-minute scream-off. What if our holiday table became known as a space to unwind from a long year? Celebrate the highs, grieve the lows, learn something new, and engage with others' perspectives. I believe that seasoned with grace, empathy, and some quirky strategies, we can make it to New Year's, not just without scars, but with excitement about next year's feast. If you like this article, find lots more at crossroads.net/articles. We have hundreds of articles covering topics like parenting, football, dating, sex, current events, work, angels and demons, everything you could possibly think of, and so much more. Love it, hate it, or have an idea for an article, I would love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at articles@crossroads.net. Come back here regularly and make sure to subscribe so you know when the next episode drops. Give us a rating and review. It really helps introduce other people to the show. We will see you next time.